I want to spend some time here this morning. The title of the message, I'm sure you have seen it, it's in the back there, is A Rose Among the Thorns. And want to just draw our minds toward the Lord Jesus and focus on some of his sufferings as it relates to the service that we will then be a part of this afternoon. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and there's a number of verses there we want to read, and I think we'll just read it, and I won't make any comments, and then we'll move into the rest of the message. Throughout the message, there are two places here that I want to stop for a song. One of them is a song that we'll sing together. It's in front of you there on your desk. There might be a bench or two that doesn't have it, but they're around somewhere, so we can share. And then the other song, I think some of the men plan to share that at some point. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew 27, and let's start reading at verse, let's start at verse 11. And we will read a good portion of this chapter. It's Matthew's account here of the crucifixion. Matthew 27, verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor. Why don't you stand, if you don't mind, while we read this. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, It is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him, Not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished, and at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife went to him, saying, Have nothing to do with this just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Verse 21. The governor answered and said to them, Which of the two do you want me to release to you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said to them, What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said to him, Let him be crucified. Then the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! Then they spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of his skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him. They kept watch over him there. And they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have for him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, This man is calling for Elijah. Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Let's stop there. You may be seated. Thank you for that. Just the account there, I wanted us to just read again and to just see what all took place. Verses 28 to 30 is the verses that I want to focus on. And we're going to just look at just part of his suffering here today. And we're going to look at kind of the three things that they did to him: the robe, the crown, and the reed. And just want to look at what that looked like, what they were doing with that, and then maybe personalize it toward the end of the message. I was blessed by Brother Duane in your devotions this morning, and the just you bringing us to this place as well. All of these were forms of mockery: the robe, the crown, and the reed. And so we want to just look at those and see just a little bit of what Christ went through. And I would say that these were just the brim of the cup. I mean, these are things that he experienced, but it was just surface for what he really down deep was feeling because of what he was going through. And we don't know. We are not able to understand all what he was feeling down deep inside. But he did suffer some physical things and humiliation, and we want to just look at that. So we want to start with the purple robe here, first thing. Purple or scarlet was considered kind of one and the same. Matthew's account here says scarlet. If you read it in John, it talks about it being a purple robe. It was a very, very highly prized dye in ancient times. It was something that was a rich material or a rich color. A couple of verses here that I just pulled together as it relates to scarlet or purple in the Old Testament, so we realize what the significance of this color really is and what they were doing with this when they put it on Jesus. In Daniel 5:7, it says, The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Later in that same chapter, verse 29, it says, Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And then another verse in Judges 8:26, it says, And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about the camel's neck. So purple here, I'm just reading these verses so you see the importance of what purple was, or scarlet, in the Bible times. It was something that was very highly looked up to. Kings wore it, rulers wore this color, something that was very, very rich. I asked Barbara to bring me something that would maybe resemble that, Possibly it looked something like this. I don't know. It could have been maybe just a little richer. I don't know. But that is what they would have put on our Lord Jesus. And we'll just put that up here on the cross. And you can see that. This robe was put on the Lord Jesus as a pure mockery. It was put on him, according to the account of John, after the scourgings took place. After they had beat him, which would have made it that much more of a mockery. Because now his back and his stomach, or wherever they beat him with the whip, was bleeding. And now they bring a purple robe or a scarlet robe and put that on him. A pure mockery. Scourging was done with a whip, more than likely a whip that had like bone on the end of it, which when they whipped would rip open the skin. The law only required 40 stripes. And so they had to stay within that to not break the law. They say that 1/3 of the stripes were applied to the chest, the other 2/3 to the back. So if you can picture the Lord Jesus as being whipped on the front and the back. Very, very serious pain, and an excruciating pain, I can imagine. There would be even people at times where parts of their insides could be seen after whippings like this. And there he stood with a scarlet robe around him. He stands there bleeding with this scarlet robe, facing ridicule and mocking. And as the title that we have here, A Rose Among the Thorns, just want you to get that picture. You see the vase back there that has that. That's the way Jesus stood here in this situation. He stood there blooming in the midst of all of this mockery and humility. The song that you have in front of you, and if someone beside you doesn't have one, if you want to look around, you could pass that out. I think there's a few here. Maybe the second or third bench might not have a paper. So if you find that, we'd like to sing this song. It talks about the purple robe. It may be new to some of you. I grew up singing it, and I think maybe more of you know it. It's quite simple. So David will lead that, and let's sing the song, all three verses, here at this time.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. His raiment was the scarlet purple robe. In that same song, just before that, it said that he wore a crown of thorns. So let's look at the crown. The crown of thorns. Why this? Why did they put a crown of thorns on his head? What did that have to do with crucify him? It was another severe form of mockery. Crown of thorns. Just tried to put together a little something. Have no idea if it quite looked like this. But this is something that if you would put on your head would be very painful, especially if someone would beat it. And that's what they did to Jesus. So as you think of Christ hanging on the cross, and let's look now at the crown of thorns. What does the crown represent? It represents a number of things, and we'll look at some of these in Scripture. It represents symbol of authority or rulership. That is what the crown showed back then. I don't know if people wear crowns today or not as kings or rulers. I'm not sure. You don't see it as much. Song of Solomon 3:11 says, "Go forth, all you daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and on the day of the gladness of his heart." 2 Samuel 12:30, "And he took their king's crowns from off his head, the weight whereof was a talent of gold with the precious stones, and it was set on David's head, and he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance." So it was a sign of authority. Kings and those that were looked up to wore crowns back in that day. It was also a symbol of glory and rejoicing. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, there's about three verses there that I would like to read. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 6 to 9. It's a symbol of glory and rejoicing. Hebrews 2, verse 6. "But one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him.'" Verse 9 yet. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." But we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. It was a sign of mockery. I mean, that's what they were doing with this crown of thorns. But yet, it was a sign of glory and honor that he was willing to go through. It was a symbol of winning as well. 1 Corinthians 9:24 and 25 says, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize or the crown? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." In other words, a physical crown. But then it says, "But we an incorruptible." Revelations 2:10, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." So it was a symbol that was used as someone that had accomplished something, maybe as a trophy. We see more trophies given today for people that have done something, achieved something. But crowns were also used in that way. It was also a symbol of riches, and we know that because kings and rulers wore them. It talks in Psalms of a crown of pure gold. It says, Psalms 21:3, "For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness, thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head." So this crown was absolutely nothing but mockery as they put it on Christ Jesus. It was a symbol of mockery. Let's look at the thorns. Why did they put a crown like this? They could have put a real crown on him, and it would have still been a form of mockery. But why a crown of thorns? Turn in your Bibles to Genesis. Where do we read about thorns in Genesis? I think you know, at the very beginning, Genesis 3. Genesis 3, 17, 18, and 19 are some verses there that explain about the thorns. Genesis chapter 3, 17 to 19. Then to Adam he said, this is after they had disobeyed, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. These thorns were a product of the curse, a result of man's disobedience, result of man's rebelling against God. And because of that, it says that they were going to have to experience thorns and briars and hardship. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Through their mockery, God shows us something I think is so beautiful. He shows us how Jesus just bore our sins. He was willing to take our sins upon him. The thorns remind us of the curse where Adam and Eve fell. The result of man's sins. The result of your sins and my sins. Really, what better symbol than putting a crown of thorns on Christ's head? That's what he was dying for. And I'm sure when they put that crown of thorns on his head, they had no idea of really what they were doing, other than out of pure mockery. But it was a symbol of him dying because of the sins of each one of us. Picture your sins as one of those thorns. And now picture that rose still blooming with that crown of thorns upon his head. It's interesting as well, if you look at another account in Genesis. Genesis 22:13 is the account where Abraham and Isaac went up to the mountain, and Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. And this is what happened. Verse 13, chapter 22 in Genesis. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now here's a beautiful substitute. Instead of his son Isaac, here is a sheep or a ram, a male ram, a male sheep that is caught. And if you stop and think about it, he's caught how? By his hind legs? No, it says he's caught by his horns. He was caught by the head in a thicket. And more than likely that thicket was full of thorns. I don't know, brambles, something that he became locked into place. And because of that, Abraham was able to go and get the sheep and to sacrifice the sheep in place of his son Isaac. A wonderful picture, foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. Very similar picture to Christ here with the crown of thorns on his head. He was willing to wear this crown of thorns for you and for me. Picture again the rose among the thorns. Have you stopped? Have I stopped and smelled the rose? Has the fragrance of the rose spilled over me? Do I give some of that out of my own heart and life to those that live around me? I would like to ask a group of men that are able to sing the song that I asked them to, if they could go to the back of the church. It's a song that has touched me many times as I heard it even growing up. And it's a song about a rose, the rose that had to grow among the thorns. It says, there had to be a rose to live and die among the thorns. And as they sing the song, it's new for them. I think last evening they got together and practiced it. So they may all just sing in unison, but that's good. But let's bow our heads, just close our eyes and reverently listen to the words of the song as they sing about this rose that was having to live among the thorns. Thank you for that. A rose among the thorns. The next part of the story here I want to look at is the reed. This was a symbol of mockery as well. It was to resemble the scepter or a rod type thing that kings would use. Here again would symbolize authority. And as I thought about Brother Wes's devotional last Sunday. He read about the golden scepter, and that's found in Esther 4:11. I'll just read that one verse. And all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. So I read that verse to just show what the scepter, what that meant, the golden scepter. It was a sign of dignity, a sign of power. And here they give Jesus a reed. This reed they place into his hand was not a golden scepter like what the kings and princes would have used, but it was rather a reed, possibly something that looked hollow. As I studied it, it could have been something hollow, some type of a reed, but it had something, I think, with rigidity in it. I don't have a reed, but I do have just a stick. I think it was something that looked quite humiliating as it represented a scepter. And as they gave that reed to him, another hard way to show what they were trying to do with him. A very cruel, cruel way of mockery. Not only did they give him a reed to hold, but they later then used it to beat him across the head, across this crown of thorns to drive them in further. But praise the Lord, the scepter that our Savior holds now is the scepter of righteousness. In Hebrews 1:8 says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." The robe, the crown, the reed. Little did the soldiers know that one day they would truly kneel before this man. As they beat him with the reed, they also spit upon him. They said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Romans 14:11 says, "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." At some point, every knee will bow before the Lord. In all of this, the rose still blooms. Jesus is still blooming. Amidst the thorns, amidst the cruel mockings, the beatings, the purple robe, the reed. Have I experienced this road? Have I stopped and took the beauty in? Do I know a little of what he went through for you and for me? To personalize this now, why did God allow this mockery and beating and suffering? Why did he allow this for his son to go through this? And then what should my response be? I believe God allowed it for many different reasons, but just to name a few. God allowed it to take my sins upon himself. We know that. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body." And we just went through some of that. Some of the things that he went through in his own body. "That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So I am now called to be dead to sin and alive unto God. God allowed it to take my curse as well. That is why he went through all of this torture and humiliation, is to take my curse. Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." My response to this should be to glorify God. Romans 15:6, "That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ." God allowed it to take my shame. It was very shameful for him to have all of this done to him, this crown and the robe and the reed and other things, the spitting. But he was willing to take that. Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Am I willing to take some of this shame upon myself for him? Am I willing to be ridiculed because of what I believe or who I believe in? He went to the cross for you and for me. John 19:16-17. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, talking of Pilate. And they took Jesus, and they led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. My response to all of this should be something like this. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me." Am I willing, as I look over the Christ suffering, as I view all of this and what he has done for me, am I willing to take this cross upon myself daily? Am I willing to deny myself? And then am I willing to follow Christ? Have I experienced this rose among the thorns? Let's kneel in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for your son Jesus. We thank you for the time that he was able to come to live here on this earth, and then for this time of suffering, we thank you that he was willing to bear our sins upon himself, to go through this humiliating, this painful, difficult time. We thank you for the robe
continue to be that rose among the thorns, among those that were doing so much wrong against him. We thank you for his love and his humiliation. And I pray, God, as we just look at this once again, that each one of us would realize what you have done for us, and that in return we would glorify you. In return we would deny ourselves, we would take up the cross, and that we would follow. Give us the strength. And as we move into this afternoon, the partaking of the emblem, and I pray, God, that as we do this, it would just stir in our hearts all that you have done for us. And we say thank you, and we bless you for that. So guide us and keep us. We pray this in your word.